It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Sometimes change just sneaks up on you unawares and has to be pointed out to you. We only knew that life expectancy in the U.S. was dropping when statistics evidencing the drop were recently published. Most people did not realize that insects were disappearing from the environment until an article was published in the newspaper this week pointing out the disastrous drop in their populations. We appreciate knowing that these changes in our broader environment are happening because it gives us a context that helps make sense of our experience. There's an explanation for why you can no longer go out in the backyard on a hot summer night and, as I did at the age of 7 or 8, collect a jar full of fireflies in 5 minutes. As a friend recently pointed out, it may actually provide some comfort to people to know that the seemingly inexplicable sad death of a young person by overdose is not so inexplicable after all, but reflects a broad social trend. Other times, of course, change is more dramatic, pronounced, and obvious. You certainly don't need to be told things have changed, for example, when the person you've spent all your time with is no longer there. You just have to figure out how to adjust to it. I could not help but focus this week on the thought that I was not celebrating Peter's 81st birthday this December 5th in New Orleans, where we celebrated his 80th and many preceding ones. Awareness of that change is not so welcome. Whether dramatic or invisible, any change in our circumstances may trigger a response in us, making us, in turn, the agents of change. Change we bring about ourselves is perhaps the most discomforting kind of change, forcing us, as it does, to take responsibility, exercise judgment, make choices in circumstances where many competing approaches can be justified. Making decisions about what to change is inherently, to my mind, a source of anxiety. Each of these kinds of change is at play here at Turkana Farms these days. Peter's sudden dramatic death triggered a life-changing decision by me to invite Troy and Victoria to run a farm operation here, essentially establishing a new household, and an even more life-changing decision on their part to move 600 miles to accept. As we finished the last harvest of the current farm year, the geese went to market this week, Troy and Victoria are about to be thrust quite immediately into the decisions which must be made about what to produce next year and in what direction to move the farm over time. These latter decisions must necessarily be made against the backdrop of larger changes in the environment and economy far beyond any of our individual control. A study issued this Wednesday by World Resources Institute pointed out that agriculture occupies 40% of the world's landmass and produces 25% of the greenhouse gases responsible for climate change. To meet a growing population, by 2050, the agricultural sector must produce 56% more calories than it does now. But to avoid environmental catastrophe, it must do so without occupying more land and without producing more greenhouse gases. In short, a lot more food must be produced on less land. One of the report's recommendations is that consumption of beef and lamb be dramatically reduced, in part because these animals produce a lot of methane, and that meat consumption be transferred to more environmentally efficient product like chicken. Our farm went out of beef production a couple of years ago. The decision was not environmental, but economic. It had become apparent to us that our small amount of land could sustain only a small herd of cows. The cost of maintaining a bull to inseminate our 3 breeding cows, when he could reasonably service 10 times that number, was too high to justify. But while we stopped raising cows, we kept our sheep. Again, we didn't view that decision as an environmental choice, although I could try to justify it on such grounds. Sheep produce far less methane than cows, and I feel judging their environmental footprint by their methane output alone overestimates their adverse impact, because both sheep and sheep products can produce greenhouse gas savings. We generally keep a small herd of sheep on the front lawn every year. Their constant grazing means we virtually never mow that lawn, helping reduce our carbon footprint. The sheep have also been bred by humans over thousands of years to produce wool, a product that gets transformed into yarn for sweaters and blankets, which in turn reduce demand for energy to heat homes. Wool in some places is even made into house insulation. I would argue that these environmental benefits need to be balanced into the sheep's carbon footprint account. Since the World Resource Institute report sees an ongoing place for lamb in our diet, albeit in a reduced amount, it makes environmental sense to produce that lamb and the wool they produce in the unmechanized, low-density, low-impact way a farm like ours does it. You may dismiss all this as rationalization to justify keeping animals we've grown attached to and argue that we're being environmentally irresponsible by keeping them. That argument, if you present it, may hold more sway with Victoria and Troy than it would have with me and Peter. I would be interested to see which way their decision will go. I note that Victoria has already sought out and started sales of some of our accumulated fleece to a maker of felt hats. I returned to the farm this weekend to see a table laid out with thrice-washed wool, which Victoria is about to use in an experiment to create felt of her own. Given the enthusiasm both Troy and Victoria share for spun fiber, and the bonds of affection Victoria has already formed with some of the sheep, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that they do not make poultry the farm's sole source of animal protein. Rather, I hope they strike an environmentally responsible balance between sheep and poultry that allows the continued keeping of the sheep. After 18 years here, I've also become accustomed to planting certain crops in certain places. If left to my own devices, I would probably repeat with little change what we've done in the past. It's difficult to see one's customs disrupted. But Victoria has already been working on next season's seed orders and making some different choices about what to plant and where to plant it. She's even added a dye plant, madder, into the mix. And last weekend we discussed whether flax might not be contemplated as a fiber crop. I will admit to a bit of a feeling that any change in what Peter and I created represents a phasing out, an end of our era, and makes me a little sad. But more than counterbalancing that is my excitement at Troy and Victoria's enthusiasm for graduating the farm from an amateur enthusiasm into a successful business. I'm on the whole quite happy to be relieved of making difficult choices about how to change to meet a changing environment.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.